The chairman of the Chicago Cubs, he is Tom Ricketts. Tom, how are you this morning?
I'm great. How are you doing?
We're doing fantastic, and I suppose we should start the conversation by just offering you congratulations. We haven't had a chance to talk since you guys have made your offseason moves, and it's very exciting. The fans, the reaction that we've gotten, that you've gotten from everybody around town to Theo Epstein and Jed Hoyer and all the wonderful front office moves, it's warmed a lot of hearts.
Well, thanks. You know, the obviously we had a little bit of a runway there at the end of the season to get ready for when the season ended. And I did a little homework to get ready for that. But, you know, in the end, Theo was going to be our first choice. And fortunately, it all kind of fell in place for us. And we're excited, too.
Tom, maybe you don't think in these terms, but do you feel like you're having the honeymoon now that you really didn't get when you first took over the team, given the, you know, what happened on the field?
Well, you know, I hope people understand that, we've played our cards all the right way so far on the GM front. And everyone's looking forward. I'm not worried about honeymoons. I just want to win.
And it's interesting, Tom, because it's I don't know how you feel about it, but we look at the new collective bargaining agreement, and you see that the signing bonus pool for draft picks has changed significantly. There's talk of a tax or forfeiture of picks if teams exceed whatever the window may be, $4.5 million to $11.5 million, depending on where you're picking. It seems as if this is a Theo Epstein rule. It's almost as if right as you get Theo, they're creating a rule that's going to affect what your game plan is, which is, of course, drafting young players, using the international markets, etc.
Yeah, that was certainly certainly one of the ways the Red Sox built their organization. They weren't the only team, but by being smart about how you got supplemental picks and getting a lot of draft picks in the draft and putting a lot of money in the draft, it was definitely a way to build up your system. And I think some of the more progressive teams figured that out a little sooner and used it to their advantage. But yeah, the CBA is going to really take that play out of the playbook. You know, you're going to be living under much tighter constraints on what you can and can't do in the draft. And then and smaller market teams are going to get extra picks. So it's just something we're going to have to adapt to.
And Theo said that even when he was sitting there in Boston on draft day watching what you and Tim Wilkin were doing, and you were sitting right next to Tim down in Mesa for the draft, he said, yeah, they get it. We see what the Cubs are doing. So this kind of cut the legs out from under you. And I know it's not as sexy as going getting Albert or Prince Fielder, but you've always said that you're going to put it into the infrastructure of the team, so to speak. You're going to go young and develop players, and you know, hopefully it pays dividends in years to come, but a lot of people want to see the big splash signing instead.
Yeah, well, the bright side is we had the one draft in June, which hopefully will be something we can build on. But yeah, you're right. I mean, I think the teams that we're playing a little smarter over the last few years, we're putting a lot more money into the draft, and you just don't have that option anymore. Internationally, it's pretty limited too. So, you know, it's going to come back to making sure that the picks you do make are the right picks, which emphasizes the right kind of scouting, and then player development. Once you get a guy in, make sure you make him the best that he can be.
And you know, again, everybody wants to talk about getting the big free agent splash, but you know, pitching, starting pitching in particular, was a real problem last year, last in the National League in starters ERA, and really depth at starting pitching. I mean, these are issues for any baseball team. You've got to have the pitching. Where are you guys at with that? Do you expect there'll be a lot of changes, Tom? I mean, how much do you need in terms of starting pitching?
Well, you know, obviously you could never have too much starting pitching. I mean,
right.
the injury rate is just too high with starters to count on any of them for an entire season. But I think where Jed and Theo and the guys are is that they're going down to Dallas with an open mind about how to make the club better for next year. And if something comes up where they find a starter that will fit and someone who can eat a lot of innings and be productive for us, I'm sure they'll grab him. But I think they're just open-minded. I think they just figure they've got a couple months here to see what's out there and get the best rotation we can for next year.
I know, Tom, on the national broadcast when you're asked about Carlos Zambrano at the end of the season, you said what a lot of Cub fans thought. There's really no way he can come back and pitch for the Cubs given that he walked out on his team. Now, Theo's left that door open a little bit. He's talked to Carlos's agent. A couple questions on Carlos Zambrano. One, have you spoken with him since he was suspended and sent away for the rest of the season? And the arbitration process, is that still going to play out, or is the organization just going to say, okay, well, we're going to bring him back in the fold and see where it goes from there?
I haven't spoken to Carlos since he left the clubhouse in Atlanta. Obviously, the team, and there's been a number of conversations with his agent. Theo has spoken to him. You know, it's Theo's decision that that he wants to give Carlos a chance to earn his way back on the team, and I support that all the way. With respect to the arbitration process, it's off the top of my head. I'm not exactly sure where that's at.
Hey, Tom, you know, Dale Swaim is now brought in as the new manager. And, you know, I got to tell you, if nothing else, you guys have totally won the news conferences this year. It's been fantastic to watch Theo.
We're putting a lot of them out there.
Yeah. You ought to sell tickets to those. Yeah.
Theo was great. I mean, that whole thing, Jed, and all the guys that have come in. And I loved what Dale Swaim talked about in terms of kind of a little bit of tough talk, a little bit of accountability talk, which is always something that you want to hear.
Yeah, as people get to know Dale, he's a very straightforward, direct person with an incredible depth of baseball knowledge. And then just when I met him for the first time, just before before we made him the offer in Milwaukee, I mean, just talking about little things in baseball and how he goes into great detail. He talks about, you know, different situations for hitters, positioning the infielders, all the little things that you have to do. So he's got the little things in it, and he's got a really incredible grasp of detail, but yet is very direct and straightforward with the players. And from everything we hear, players really like playing for him. So I think it's a great fit.
Yeah, I know you said you're not sure where the arbitration process with Zambrano is, but my understanding would, maybe I'm wrong here, but if the arbiter ruled in the Cubs' favor, the team's position under Jim Hendry was he retired and the contract's now null and void. If you could walk away from the $19 million or so that he's owed in his final season and reinvest that in other ways in the club, the arbiter said, yeah, the Cubs are right, Carlos was wrong, and there's no obligation there. Would you accept that and go with it?
Well, that's really not – I don't think that's really an outcome that can happen at this point. It's my understanding that what we're really kind of at odds over is how long the suspension will be. But like I said, I haven't really looked at that in a few weeks, and I'm not sure where it's at in the MLB processes. But I don't think it's an outcome that could happen out of that arbitration. I think Carlos is still under contract for next year.
You know, it's interesting, Tom, to see the first signing under Theo, and that, of course, David DeJesus introduced yesterday. I know that he's not the signature signing, but he's the first signing at that point. When you look at where that is, when you look at that player, you know, some interesting things come out. Immediately, the sabermetrics numbers come out, and you talk about the guy and how well he has done in the NL Central ballparks. You talk about defense. You hear the guy say that the things that he values, what he wants to be considered as a reliable player who hustles. Does this sort of begin telling us the kind of guys you're looking for? Does this give a hint as to what people can expect from the Cubs here in the future?
Well, yeah, I think so. I've spoken to David a couple times. He's a great guy, and he's the kind of guy that you can just see that everybody wants to be teammates with. And, you know, and you talked about it, like he does all the baseball things right. You know, he'll go deep in counts. He plays very good defense. He's a good base runner. You're not necessarily a base stealer, but a good base runner. He does everything right. So, you know, I think it's a nice signing to bring in right off the bat because it gives us the guy that plays baseball the way that we want the Cubs to play baseball. And, you know, I think it's a plus. Hopefully we can come up with a few more of those kind of acquisitions or changes to the team in the offseason, so we're ready to go for opening day with a team we're really confident they can win the division.
Getting the baseball people in place in the front office and the new manager is great, but the ballpark still needs work, and I know your position is that you'd like some help on that, and you look at the White Sox, you look at the Soldier Field rehab, and you know this week a lot of news. CME is asking for state for money, Sears, everyone's threatening to leave, and they're all getting, it seems like they're all going to get something from the state, and a lot of businesses are doing it left and right. As a Cubs fan, it kind of frosts me that the Cubs are always told no, and everyone else got their hand out and they get a little something, and Bacardi at the park ends up being paid for by the taxpayers, and no one seemed to know that. As a Cubs owner, I mean, everything you do, Cap Morgan Club's paid for by the club or its sponsors. Does that bother you at all that there seems to be a different standard for the Cubs?
Well, you know, the Cubs, you know, we've never really historically kind of been in that market or played that game well with the different state authorities. And over time, what's happened is we've just gotten to a uniquely bad position with respect to, you know, just kind of the relationship the team has with government in terms of, you know, what we get for what we pay. So, but that's all right. You know, I think that, you know, that's just something we deal with. It's something from the past. The, you know, Wrigley Field is the third largest tourist attraction in the state. We generate hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars for businesses that aren't the Cubs. You know, we're an economic driver of the city. And, you know, and we need to keep the park going. I mean, the goose that lays the golden eggs, I mean, we got to keep her alive. So, you know, so we really would, you know, like to, you know, figure out a way to get a real win-win with all of our government officials and find out something that, and come, you know, find something that works to fix up Wrigley and save her for the next generation. Now, the good news is that in the elected officials that I've spoken with, you know, generally are pretty positive and open-minded. We just have to find the right mix of, things or the right idea that works for everyone. But we're working on it, and I think we'll get somewhere. I think we'll get something done eventually.
Emil Jones is now the head of the Illinois Sports Authority. The thought out there, the thinking out there, is they might come to you and say, "Okay, we will assume Wrigley Field." Would you be open to that?
You know that I don't know. We'd have to see. That hasn't happened, and if it did, we'd have to just assess it at the time.
Hey, Tom, he's Tom Ricketts, the Cubs chairman. You're listening to Mully and Hanley on the Score. You have done a remarkable job this offseason in building expectations. Does there come a point where you need to temper them? Does there come a point where, I mean, I'm sure you're going through this process of people constantly congratulating you. At some point, do you have to emphasize, as you have, that it's a process and that it's not just going to happen overnight? Or do you like having the big, high expectations?
Well, We do want people to remember that, in general, to build the organization the right way, you do need time. I think that we'll be better on day one, but you know, over the years is when all the good decisions and the smart guys and the baseball side where the decisions will pay off over time. So, I mean, I think we're better. I think we'll be better next year than we were last year for sure. I think we'll contend in the division next year, but people should just make sure that Jed and Theo and all the guys get a little time, because you know just with the way guaranteed contracts are and the way that everything's organized, you can't just flip a switch and turn a baseball team completely around overnight. So
you've really stood by Crane Kenny, and now you're looking to extend him. Why do you think he's a controversial figure? Why is it that that you've had to stand by him? Why? What do you think it is about him that people seem to be upset about? Or what is? Does he get a raw deal here?
Yeah, that's a great question. I don't know why. Yeah, you know, the media seem to think that the talking about Crane is relevant. The fact is, Crane does a great job. You know, he runs the business side of the organization. And business and baseball are two sides of the same coin. I mean, if we're going to be the best team in baseball, we can't have a good baseball organization and a lousy business side, or vice versa. So, I mean, I look at it and say, hey, I've got a guy that works very hard, executes well, has built a good team around him. And so I'm very comfortable with Crane. I don't know why people keep bringing his name up in a lot of the conversations about baseball, or he came up a lot in the GM discussions. The fact is, he does his job very well. Cub fans should know that that he executes, and we get stuff done. The baseball side, the business side, gets things done, and he's our guy, and we're going to go forward with him. And I figure I got Theo on the baseball side and Crane on the business side, and that's a pretty darn good team.
He's Tom Ricketts. Tom, thanks a ton. We appreciate your time. And again, you know, it's been a very exciting off season. Monday begins the meetings, and that's a big shopping season. I think everybody's very pumped up for you.
Well, the other thing we got is we're cautiously optimistic. We got Ron up for the Hall of Fame again this weekend on the
right.
On Saturday. The committee sits down, and that's 1 year to the day since he passed. So. Hopefully this is the year. You know, we're doing what we can to get the word out about all of his accomplishments and make some phone calls on his behalf. And hopefully, you know, that committee will see their way to do what's right.
Yeah, from your lips to the God's ears.
You're on a roll. It would make sense.
Save us a couple seats at the Prince Fielder press conference.
All right, you guys are right up front.
All right.
Thanks, Tom. Appreciate
right.
it.
Keep
Talk
it going.
That's
right,
Tom Ricketts, the chairman of the Chicago Cubs. You're listening to Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.